Well, Indigenous Australians, they've been using plants for medicinal purposes for thousands of years, yeah? But is there an opportunity to turn that bush medicine into a successful, a profitable and sustainable agribusiness? There's been a funding announcement made today towards an Australian-first research project which will look into bush medicine potential and opportunities to commercialise native medicinal plants. To tell us more about this is Dr. Greg Leach, who is from the Menzies School of Health Research, and he'll be involved with this project going forward. Greg, what can you tell us about this?
Yeah, Matt, thanks for having us in here. This is a new project that was got some funding from the CRC for developing North Australia and also some funding in from the research partners, Integria Healthcare, Menzies School of Health Research and the University of Queensland, and a group called Traditional Homeland Enterprises. And through this partnership, we really want to start to have a good look at some of the traditional medicinal plants, particularly those that have documented use around anti-inflammatory, antimicrobial properties. And certainly our industry partner believes there's a real niche in the market, in the complementary medicines market, to actually develop some products that could actually generate some employment and enterprise on country for those communities that are interested in participating in the project.
What are some of the plants out there that excite you and you think there could be real opportunity?
Yeah, look, you know, you look at some of the published Aboriginal pharmacopoeias, and there's a lot of plants in there that are used for, you know, skin complaints and so on that we're quite excited about. There's an interesting crossover between some of the bush food ones. You've covered the Kakadu plum as a bush food and a functional food, but Kakadu plum also has the medicinal properties in the inner bark of it. So there's a lot of plants like that. The milky plum also has bush tucker and medicinal properties. Look, there's a whole suite of them that we need to go out and talk to some Indigenous communities, see what plants they think have potential and that they're interested in harvesting. But there's, yeah, quite a suite that we already know of from a lot of the published literature in this area.
You've been working with Menzies at a practical level. What's Menzies going to do in this space?
Yeah, the Menzies School of Health Research obviously is a probably Australia's premier research institute in Indigenous health issues and tropical health issues. So we'll be using the laboratory expertise at Menzies, particularly in the microbiology area. So once some extracts of the plants are made, they'll come to the labs at Menzies and we'll be setting up some assays and start to screen these plants to see which ones we can show are effective against a range of bugs. But we're certainly interested in particularly the bugs that are common causes of some of the major infections out in rural communities. So those bugs on the skin that start to cause things like rheumatic heart disease and kidney failure and so on. So we'll be looking at how effective these plants are against some of those sorts of bugs.
So almost putting a bit of the science behind the traditional views on how that plant's used.
Absolutely.
Proving it up.
Yeah, proving it up, yeah. And that's been a common question from groups like the Indigenous Reference Group at Menzies. They've said, you know, in a Western sense, can you show us, you know, how these plants work? And we want to know how they work. And another question they ask is, we know people mix the traditional medicines and Western medicines. There's interest in, does that have any antagonistic effect or a synergistic effect? You know, is there any issues with actually mixing different treatments at the same time? So, Menzies will bring, as I said, that expertise in laboratory and health research to really, as you say, try and prove up some of these plants. And they'll be the ones that we can then document and offer to take into a commercial arena.
And how big is that market potentially?
Look, it's pretty big. Our industry partners quote figures. I mean, we talk about this as the complementary medicine field. So it's not the big pharmaceutical companies. It's more the alternative complementary therapies. Worldwide, I think that market's calculated out at something like $80 billion. But
gee,
recent figures, even here in Australia, shows that the Australian complementary medicines figure back in 2016 had jumped up to $4.7 billion. And a lot of that is export driven. A lot of that is being exported to, you know, through particularly up through Asia, Hong Kong, China, South Korea, and so on. So it's potentially a big niche, and you know, if we get good product, good marketing, potentially some big dollars, and potentially through exporters as well as domestic use.
Is a potential outcome of this large scale plantations of a bush plant?
Look, that is an option, and it once again we can hark back to the Kakadu plum example. At the moment, it's all sustainably wild harvested,
yep.
And that actually has some pretty strong marketing advantages. That you know, the clean, green, sustainably wild harvested is a real advantage in a brand in the market. My personal view is I would probably prefer to see it stay in that sustainable wild harvest arena, but if the demand gets to a point that can't supply it, then you've got to start looking at can you do some enrichment plantings out there in the bush and just get more of the plant there, or do you go to the full commercial plantation type industry? But that will all depend on the sort of the scale of the market demand.
Yeah, the demand. Yeah. That, if there's dollars to be made,
yeah.
There could be someone there willing to plant. And so how long have you got funding for? How long is this going to last for, this project?
Look, this particular lot of funding from the CRC for Developing North Australia and the cash from our partners is only framed up as an 18-month project. So we're really describing it as a pilot phase. You know, at this stage, we don't really know even what plants we're looking for. We need to do a lot of consultation with Indigenous communities to, you know, see what plants they might be suggesting and that they think are suitable for harvest. But we hope if we get some early runs on the board and we can start to show that there's really something in this industry, that further funding might be attracted from other funding bodies.
Do you use anything yourself at the moment, Greg? Can I ask?
I'm pretty free from medication.
You're just a healthy fellow, so you're right.
I'm just a pretty healthy, just a pretty healthy fellow. But look, I don't mind some of the bush tuckers. I was out looking at some green plums the other day, the Buccinania, and
right.
They're just coming into season, and I picked a few of those and enjoyed those very nicely. I think they're going to be a real strong competitor for the Kakadu plum. I mean, we know and hear a lot about the Kakadu plum harvest, but there's a few Indigenous groups now that are looking at some of these other bush food plants, and particularly where those bush food plants have potential market into what we call the functional foods industry, which is pretty big in places like Japan and so on. The green plum, that's a really tasty fruit. And medicinals, no, I'm pretty
you're
healthy.
Just healthy. Well, that's good to hear. And just finally, when it comes to IP, intellectual property, is that featuring in this research? Because I know that's been a concern with some of the bush tucker projects, losing control of it all.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's actually a sort of a parallel stream of this project. While we've got the Western science happening, we've also got a lot of activity around, and it's called benefit sharing. And so basically when you're starting to look at traditional knowledge as being a starting point and then being used, you need to enter into benefit sharing arrangements with the providers of that knowledge. And in fact, it's a requirement under NT legislation. We've got our own homegrown Biological Resources Act, which actually says if you're going into the commercial arena, you actually have to develop a benefit sharing agreement with whoever's providing the resource. So, and there's some international conventions that also dictate that. So we're well aware of that. We know that's going to be a long period of some negotiations, but this project, because it has an absolutely explicit commercial outcome, it is non-negotiable that this project has to resolve how those issues around equitable and fair benefit sharing and protection of Indigenous knowledge, Indigenous intellectual property are actually looked after. So that will be very much an equal part of this project as well as the science.
It's an exciting project. Thanks so much for coming in and telling us about it.
Thanks, Matt. No worries.
Dr. Greg Leach, he's with the Menzies School of Health Research. So this project, and it is an Australian first, it's got a bit over $1 million to play with over the next 18 months, and a bit over $360,000 of that money coming from the CRC for Developing Northern Australia. So we'll keep an eye on that one. An interesting project.